Michael Zwirling.
Hi, Michael.
Hey there.
Is it going to be a rip-roaring barn burner show today?
You tell me.
No, you tell me. I mean, you're the pilot in command. God, I mean, if it's good, I'm going to lay it all on your shoulders.
We're talking about immigration.
Yeah.
And I'd say definitely.
I think so.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperance too.
Get up and go. It's today, you know. On KSCO Radio.
Back in July of 1998, I think it was, we did have a rip-roaring, barn-burning show with very passionate people on the subject of illegal immigration. One of those persons was Barbara Coe of the California Coalition for Immigration Reform, and the other one was Mario Obledo, who did some tough talking.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
And I have always wanted to revisit that. In fact, I think we played that program three times over the years, a rerun of that program. And with the recent incidences in our country just this week, everything seems to be coming to a head on this particular topic with all of the various demonstrations and so forth. And there are a lot of them going on today. And if all goes well on this program, I think we are actually going to be able to have a discussion with some people who are right at the head of the Minuteman situation here, people on the way to the border. So there's a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, so I want to welcome you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. And I heard a throat clearing. To whom does that belong?
I'm afraid it belongs to me, Michael.
It's my mother, Kay. How you doing, Ma?
I'm doing fine.
Great. Is Michael at the studio with you?
Absolutely. Okay. Two Michaels.
Which one?
There's a Mike. There's Michael.
Michael's all over the place today.
that's the spillover Michael from the Food Chain Show, Michael Olson, and of course Michael Williams, the pilot in command. And oh my gosh. So and I think you should have a phone number to call out Michael Williams here for our guest Jim Buehler, who will be with us here shortly, hopefully. But let's kick off the show by who can tell me why everything seems to be coming to a head right now? What is it that happened this week where this is like the major news story? I mean, it's been in the news for a long time, but it's the major news story now. Why?
Because we're trying to do something about it. Somebody's trying to do something about illegal immigration, and so that called everything to the question and put it on the table, and away we went.
Okay. Ma, I know you've certainly done...
I have something to say. Well, you asked what actually happened this week. What happened was that the Congress, not the Senate, but the House of Representatives, decided to wake up and see that terrible things are happening, and they decided it was time to be bold. And they came up with some rules that that threw the country into a loop. And the issue is, are we going to, we're at a crossroads. I think our country is at a very dangerous crossroad. We are either going to go one way or we're going to go the other way. We're either going to follow the rule of law or we're going to continue to rationalize and try to make everybody happy. And that's not going to work.
That reminds me of something Yogi Berra once said. When you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Yes.
But which way?
Both. It's what we're doing, right?
Well, this is an outrage. Okay, Ma, which way should we go?
Well, you know, I think that we should try to go the right way, but there are no easy answers in how to go the right way, because we should have started to go the right way a long time ago. We should have before President Ronald Reagan was in office, things started to go wrong. And I think what President Reagan did was make a big mistake when he tried to fix things by allowing amnesty for illegals who were in the country, because that opened up a terrible Pandora's box. Because if the President of the United States is willing to say, well, I guess black is white and white is black, it opens up a floodgate. So
okay, well, that's the past. That you can't undo the past, though.
I know.
What do you do now?
You have to think of what you can do. I want to go on record by letting people know that I do not blame the illegals that have been coming through our borders all these years. If my life was as difficult as theirs evidently has been in Mexico, and the door was open to this beautiful country, and the door was open, the door is still open.
Yeah.
I would come because I would try to make a better life for my family. And if the country I was entering let it happen, well, it's not my fault. And so what are we doing now? We're looking to see whose fault it is. If I were to have to make a decision, I would say that the fault is definitely in the hands of the people who have been leading us. The president, whoever he was, did not.
Well, everybody panders to the Hispanic vote because they want nothing more than to stay elected or be elected. And once they're elected, they want nothing more than to remain elected.
I totally agree.
Okay, so I mean, is there an answer? I don't know. We have with us a special guest on the phone lines here. I hope we're potted up on line six here. But let me bring on Jim Buehler, it's Tim Buehler, who is California Coalition of Immigration Reform representative, who I believe is on line six here. As soon as I can find the right button here to push, I think we'll bring Tim on the line. Are you there with us, Tim?
Yes, sir. It's good to be on your program.
Good. Tell us where you are.
We are heading down to Campo, California right now, where there is thousands of Minutemen and organizers from around the country who have gathered today and stand as Americans to secure our nation's borders.
Okay, so how is this different? Well, it's not different, presumably, from when we first heard news stories about the Minutemen, right?
Yes. Right now we're conducting a 30-day operation. And we are working in conjunction with the Minutemen Project. And our motto is to observe and report to Border Patrol agents. And we utilize cell phones and binoculars to do that. And we do not have any weapons.
Okay. Now, you didn't hear this because you weren't on hold here when I talked about at the beginning of this program a really interesting program that we had several years ago with Barbara Coe, who I believe is with your organization.
Yes, sir.
And with Mario Obledo, who I haven't heard. We tried to get in touch with him at the last minute, so I don't even know if he's gotten the message or if he's even alive for that matter. I mean, what's going on with Mario Obledo? Do you know?
I actually don't know him personally, but I can tell you that Barbara Coe is in good spirits. She's going to be joining us on the border this month, and she really is the founder of this movement. And I don't think that there would be a Minuteman Project without Barbara Coe. And, of course, when you talk about Prop 187, which is some of the best legislation that I've seen come out of California in a long time, she was the one who started that.
Uh-huh.
And, I encourage people to pray for Barbara Coe and groups like the Minutemen Project, because we are doing the work that our federal government will not do, and we are securing our nation's border. When we went down last year to the Arizona border, we secured 23 miles of that borders. So when I hear people from LULAC, from NECHA, and La Rasta say, you cannot build a big enough fence, you cannot put enough people to secure our borders, I say to them that 50, 60, 70-year-old men and women with lawn chairs, binoculars, and cell phones are doing a better job than our federal government.
Absolutely.
Okay, and yeah, that's the kind of talk that Mario Blada would say. In fact, I don't know. I get it. I get frustrated because it's hard for us to get people on to engage in discussion. It used to be a lot easier years ago. I don't know what's happened. I think people are becoming more intolerant of the other side. I mean, you would, if you would have known that someone who strongly disagrees with you would be on this radio program, would you not want to be on the radio program?
You know, I'm happy to debate anybody with all types of views, and that's what America was founded on. You think that our founding fathers all agreed on the same things? They agreed on principle and came together because they loved what turned out to be America and the foundation that we had. They came to a consensus, but they all disagreed, and that's what makes America great. And we can come together and bring different issues to the debate. And that's what makes our country different than any other.
I get the feeling that we're going to lose Tim any second here if we haven't already. But Kay, Mom, and Michael, do you have any thoughts about? Yeah, we lost him. He must have gone into a bad cell site area. But yeah, what do you think about what he just said?
Well, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear of a guy named Garrett Hardin?
No.
Garrett Hardin was a population rabble-rouser from Santa Barbara who came up with this notion of lifeboat ethics. And what he said is, imagine our country is a lifeboat, and the ship has sunk, and we are all in the lifeboat, which is not a bad analogy because, in a sense, you know, we are all immigrants and we are all living in this lifeboat of the United States. And there are many who are swimming in the water and need to be picked up. So the question is, how many people do we rescue from the water before our lifeboat is in danger of sinking?
Uh-huh.
And you've traveled a lot, Michael, and Kay has traveled a lot. And I'm thinking of an experience I had down in the headwaters of the Amazon, and it was a little jungle village, not much bigger than Coralitas. And when we drove through it, I saw what must have been thousands and thousands of healthy, happy, physically fit school children. Thousands of them. Thousands.
Really?
In a little village.
Uh-huh.
And they all had their school uniforms on, and they all had big smiles, and they were healthy, and they were happy. And I wondered where they were going to go, what they were going to do in this little village in the headwaters of the Amazon. Well, they're going to move into town, and there's into Lima, perhaps. Lima, Peru, and there's not going to be anything for them to do there. So they're going to look for some opportunity to do better in life. They're going to look for that lifeboat. And that's what the United States has become, is a great lifeboat. So the question, I think, you know, that we have to ask ourselves, and not just those of us who have been here in the United States for a long time, but also those who have recently arrived, even those who have snuck across the border and gotten in, sooner or later, we're going to come to a point where we have so many people in the lifeboat where it'll be in danger of capsizing, and it will do nobody any good.
That's a good analogy.
Still want some answers, though, and I don't think we're... That'd be great. Someone must be out there with some answers. Michael, you sent me a link in the email yesterday to a real interesting website. I think it's stolencontinent.org or something like that. And I don't know how much you poked around on that, but you thought it would be really good for some fodder, you know, for the program here. And I did a good amount of poking around, and I found a 3-minute audio clip from a Paul Harvey news and commentary program from about a year ago. Maybe not quite a year ago. It was the same date that Supreme Court of the U.S. Decided that it's okay for cities to have eminent domain power to take away private property to give to private developers. And that was just a horrible day in our country's history, as far as I'm concerned. But later on in that broadcast, which I'm going to play a little clip of right now, is something that these activist organizations point to. I mean, I never thought I'd live to see the day where an activist organization would point to a Paul Harvey commentary, but they did. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you listen to that?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, so it won't be boring for you. This will be the first time. This will be about 3 minutes. We're going to give credit to ABC Radio, but anybody can pull this off the internet at, I'll give you the actual address here afterwards, but listen to this.
Sunni Arabs killing Shiite Arabs and as many of us as possible. Sunni Muslims who dominated Iraq for decades after Saddam Hussein are convinced they can outlast us. I've been choking on something.
Yeah, here it comes.
For weeks. Let's get it up and get it out for what it's worth. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, Winston Churchill said that the American people, he said, and this is a direct quote, "We didn't come this far because we are made of sugar candy." That was his response to the attack on Pearl Harbor, that we didn't come this far because we're made of sugar candy. And that reminder was taken seriously, and we proceeded to develop and deliver the bomb, even though roughly 150,000 men, women, and children perished in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, with a single blow, World War II was over. Following New York, September 11, Pearl Harbor, Winston Churchill was not here to remind us that we didn't come this far because we're made of sugar candy. So, following the New York disaster, we mustered our humanity. We gave old pals a pass, even though men and money from Saudi Arabia were largely responsible for the devastation of New York and Pennsylvania and our Pentagon. We called Saudi Arabians our partners against terrorism, and we sent men with rifles into Afghanistan and Iraq, and we kept our best weapons in their silos. Even now, we're standing there dying, daring to do nothing decisive because we've declared ourselves to be better than our terrorist enemies, more moral, more civilized. Our image is at stake, we insist. But we didn't come this far because we're made of sugar candy. Once upon a time, we elbowed our way onto and into this continent by giving smallpox-infected blankets to Native Americans. Yes, that was biological warfare. And we used every other weapon we could get our hands on to grab this land from whomever, and we grew prosperous. And yes, we greased the skids with the sweat of slaves. And so it goes with most great nation states, which, feeling guilty about their savage pasts, eventually civilize themselves out of business and wind up invaded and ultimately dominated by the lean, hungry, up-and-coming who are not made of sugar candy. Paul Harvey, good day.
God, doesn't that give you goosebumps?
That's powerful.
Whoa! Yeah. Anyhow, that said it all, I think. That said it all. And guys like Mario Oblado, they say, hey, get used to it. You know, this is our country. We're taking it back. That's what's happening, folks. So, anyhow.
Well, what's the first thing that we should be doing?
The
first thing we do is finally close the borders.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing else that we do in the country is going to do any good unless we close the borders and let people come, the same people that want to come, but they have to come in legally. If we can't respect our own laws, how can we expect anybody else to? And we're not respecting our own laws because it's politically correct to be very compassionate and let everybody come in. And what's happening with all these riots now is outrageous. The people that are rioting are saying to the rest of us, we don't care. We have to break the laws and let everybody come in. Then we're not going to have a nation anymore if we let that happen. Michael, what do you think? Michael Olson.
Well, you know, going back to that analogy of the lifeboat, we keep letting people in until such point as the lifeboat can no longer hold everybody and it sinks. And I guess that's the end result of unrestricted immigration into the United States. There are billions of people, billions, who would rather live here than where they're living. And they're on their way.
Yeah.
Well, but the reality is that we're sinking. Isn't it troublesome that, so many young people got in on the act suddenly, and they're leaving school, and they're marching, protesting. A lot of them don't even know what they're protesting.
Okay, a lot of their parents are probably the illegal immigrants, and you can probably see why they'd be marching and worried. And you're talking about throwing my parents out of this country.
I know there are no easy answers.
And, you know, there isn't any easy answers either when you're the person in the lifeboat looking at all of those beautiful human beings that we're supposed to love as we love ourselves, swimming in the water. Are we to say no to them?
Paul Harvey said it well.
Yeah.
If we don't get tough and do what we have to do for our own survival, then nobody's going to survive.
That's correct.
But isn't it interesting that Paul Harvey clip came from an activist's site? I mean, you see what I'm saying here? I mean, it's so unusual. Anyhow, you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ, pardon me, and MO, and KZ, Michael's Whirling, K's Whirling, and Michael Olson. Michael Williams is at the controls. We have Krishna and Phil on the phone lines. By the way, I haven't given out the phone numbers. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. We're talking about the immigration problem. We've had quite a number of programs on this subject, but it's getting to a boiling point now, ladies and gentlemen. What are we going to do? I want to hear some ideas. Let's hear from you. By the way, if you want to send an email, it's mz@ksco.com. And if you want to send a fax, it's 475-2967. If you get a busy signal on 479-1080, please call us on 477-1340. We're going to try our best to move along through the callers in a more rapid pace than I typically do, because I want to give as many people an opportunity to weigh in on this topic as possible. Whoever's ringing on line two, hang on. I'm sure Michael will be there to answer it. But we'll start with our first caller now. That would be Krishna in Santa Cruz. Hey, Krishna, welcome to the Saturday Special.
Hi there, Michael.
Hey.
Good morning, everybody in this beautiful, wonderful, marvelous country. I want to tell you that you should be glad India was not on our borders.
What a racist thing to say.
For every...
I don't think you think it's racist.
What
I think
a it's racist thing to say. No, I'm being facetious, obviously.
For every poor Mexican that tried to come in here to make a better living, like my and my husband, there would be 10 Indians coming.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very, very thankful India is far, far away. Now, I think that the genius of this country is already coming to a consensus. Strengthen our borders. Like the gentleman said, if 23 old people in lawn chairs can guard 23 miles, not 23 people, but, you know, old folks in lawn chairs guarding 23 miles, being able to stop people from coming in, and treat them humanely, work visas. That'll do it. And this is a consensus I think the country is coming to. We want to be legal, and we want to be humane at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I haven't met an illegal person I haven't loved. I haven't met people who probably do not have documentation, that aren't absorbing the culture of this country. Yesterday I was at a movie hall filled with Mexican families and their children. You know, we went to see that cartoon movie, Ice Age 2.
Oh, yes.
They're already there. They're absorbing Mexican American culture. Brushed, washed, and I'll tell you what, better behaved than any white American kid I've ever seen. Mm. And my husband and I whispered to each other. We couldn't help ourselves. We complimented the parents. And, of course, the mother didn't know English yet. The father did, translated it. It was wonderful. We are Americans. We are generous. We love people. And guess what? My life has been made better by the invisible work of all these people that are living here in the shadows dangerously. So let us get them out, make them legal, but close that border.
Exactly.
Regulate it. And I think that's what everybody here is saying, because we are all immigrants.
Well,
we all know the feeling.
Krishna, who does not want to close the border?
I mean, I think...
the politicians.
Well, you know, my husband, who's a professor, and maybe one day he should do get on the road. He says there should be open waters. They've seen it in Europe, and there hasn't been this avalanche of workers coming in and flooding the country and putting people out of work. There hasn't been.
But there has been here.
They have kept the same numbers. People haven't just come into Western Europe from Eastern Europe caused problems in that sense, in a sense where it matters.
Krishna, you're not suggesting that things are well in Europe.
Oh, no.
Of course
they have
not.
They have
And couldn't open borders have something to do with that? Look what's happening in France
now. They've actually counted heads, and they're saying that what they feared hasn't happened. Because I think what happens is there's an osmosis, and it creates an equilibrium. I don't know enough about it, but my senses of the unwashed and the uneducated, of which I consider myself one, says that be humane and at the same time regulate those borders. The Minutemen, I don't know what kind of people they're compromised off, but they have shown us that it can be done.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I see those pictures on TV, I saw, what was it, Katrina?
Yeah.
When I saw all those people, I know about every head. 9 out of 10 weren't working. They were on government programs. Put them on the borders.
But, Krishna, does your husband still believe in open borders after he can see what's happening to us here?
I really think, I don't want to push him, but I would like to hear this man, my husband's point of view.
Well, get him on. Get him on.
Yeah, really. So he's not here.
Oh.
And today I'm fighting with him, so I'm not going to invite him.
What's his phone number? What's his cell phone number? We'll call out.
Okay, his cell phone number is...
Wait, take it off the air.
don't give it to us on the air. We'll put you on hold.
You know I forgot that I was going
to... Oh, okay, all right. Okay, hey, thank you for calling. We got quite a lot of other calls to move on to. That was Krishna in Santa Cruz. It's the KSCO Saturday Special with Michael Olson, Kay Zwirling, MZ, and you, the callers. And if you want to call us, we have one open line at 479-1080. We have another open line at 477-1340. The topic is illegal immigration. Hey, we need some suggestions now, folks,
Michael,
about what to do.
Can I reiterate... where the fault definitely lies with our politicians, our presidents, for many years, who have been absolutely delinquent about the borders, because they've been much more interested in staying in office and getting into office again. And I think that's a very pathetic choice they have made.
Well,
and they put us into...
Ma, you have been... people who listen to this radio station and hear your commentaries and think you walk on water
want you
to run for third district supervisor. Okay?
Yeah,
and someone's actually sent money to start a fund for that. Now, you and I both know, through our experience with egos on the radio, you know, and what happens to people, how people change. Everybody, it's sort of like a human nature type thing where if someone who has integrity comes to power, somehow they lose it after being in power for not too long. So, I mean, what can you do about that?
Power corrupts and absolute power.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Let's go to our next caller, Phil, who's been waiting 8 minutes. Phil, you're on the air. You're calling from Santa Cruz, right?
Yes.
Hey.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. I want to make about 3 points. One is I totally agree with Kay. I think this argument about amnesty and all this other stuff is a red herring. The Senate and all the rest of them, the McCains and the Kennedys, should just shut up and sit down and consider only one thing, and that's closing the border physically. There's an excellent article by Thomas Sowell, who he debunks a lot of the immigration myths. One of them is that the Mexicans take jobs that Americans don't want. He says that's baloney because they leave out an important factor: at what price. They're importing cheap labor. It destroys the middle class and helps the elitists.
And it's true. Yesterday I went to Burger King, and for years I've noticed that there really aren't many white people, you know, who do any kind of, you know, day-to-day job at all. Now there's none. Yeah, and I'm not exaggerating.
Those jobs could be done by white and Mexican and black and Oriental young kids that are trying to work their way through college, and it would be a better experience for them and better for us. But in any case, Thomas Sowell had an excellent article, and to close the borders, he said if a person went out and committed murder, and then they were caught and arrested and convicted, and all that was done was they slapped their hand and said, now don't do it again, what would you expect? And that's exactly how we handled the border crossing thing. They catch them, they send them back to Mexico, they just come back. It's an impossible thing if you're going to handle it that way. Make that border, and this is going to sound harsh, make that border, and it's easy to do with today's technology, make it such that your chances of surviving the crossing is about 1 in 10. And then when people get sent back, they're not going to come back across.
So that means post people there at the borders to shoot to kill?
Well, you want an example?
Is that what you mean by harsh?
Yes, harsh. You have a double fence about 20 yards across, like the Berlin Wall, and you don't have to post people there. You can have automatic systems that if they detect any motion, they shoot it. The robots can do the shooting. People don't have to do it.
Okay. Not that we're short of calls now, but that statement should elicit some other calls. 477-1340 is the phone number, because everything else is busy right now.
That's harsh, but the first thing is control the border. And then after that's tight and very few people are coming across, then you can be as generous as you want to with the people that are already here. But you don't give them blanket citizenship so that they can bring their whole families. You look at it on a case-by-case basis, send some of them back that are bad actors, keep the good people here. You can be as generous as you want. But if you don't close that border, then you're going to get a situation described. And the one last thing I'm going to make is a point. There's a book called Civil War II by a guy named Chittum. I sent that book to Cyril, and he read it, and he was poo-pooing it until he read it, and then he said, oh, wow. I thought when I picked the book up to read it, it was going to be written by a racist. The guy is not a racist. He goes into history and he shows exactly what's going to happen to this
country. What is his point? What does he say? What is Civil War II?
Okay, his point is this. If you had a totally free capitalistic society where everybody pulled their own weight and there was no welfare and there was no socialist system and no government like that, then it wouldn't matter who or how many people came across. Everybody would just sort of do their own thing. But when you have a socialist welfare state, and we have a quasi-socialist welfare state here, then you damn well better control the government. That means your minority or your interest group had better control the government, or it's going to be enslaved by the other group that does take the government over, because that's what a socialist welfare state is. It makes one group pay taxes and gives the money to the other, to the favored mm-hmm. group. So with a system like that, you're going to have Civil War II, where if Hispanics become the majority and they
want
to...
And they will.
And they want to control the government. There's going to be a war. It's going to be bloody. And you have demagoguing politicians like Kennedy, like McCain, who want to turn one group against another in order to gain political advantage. Well, that's what leads to the Civil War and the destruction of the country and the civilization.
You mentioned Cyril's name.
Yeah.
I just received an email from him. It says, MZ, what happened to the, quote, shining city on the hill, unquote? What happened to give me your tired, your poor, your et cetera? Lifeboat? Is it what you really think of this, our wonderful country of ours? That's from Cyril. Okay.
Well, someone will have to translate that for me.
Okay.
But anyway, my point is very simple. You read this, and he makes the point in there. He says, you think we're better than all the people that have gone before? And then he goes into the history of what's happened to people and civilizations that have allowed themselves to be overrun and who became welfare states like the Roman Empire was, bread and circuses, and then allowed themselves to be overrun. And that you have to think that somehow American people are superior people in order to believe that it won't have the same outcome.
Tom Mullen has sent a email about immigration. It says, I think one element among many others that is necessary is a national ID card. Many countries have these identification cards, and they can be used for all services, employment, schools, health care, etc.
You can buy them on any street corner in America, right?
So wait a second, let me finish this. We have to deal with the problem, but I don't think that a big wall is the answer, because this decimates against Mexico. Decimates against Mexico, and the problem involves many countries. A good ID card is one tool in dealing with this problem, and that's from Tom Mullen in Santa Cruz. Thank you, Tom.
Well, I think all these other ideas are nice, but I think they're all totally meaningless without the wall.
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Okay.
And half of the big problem is that our country is so polarized that half of the country says, no, we can't have the wall.
The politically correct half. Yeah. Okay. Phil, thanks very much for your call. We're going to move on to Harold.
Well, you know, Phil brought up a wonderful point, if I may say so, Michael.
Okay.
That
Go
we
ahead,
haven't
Kate.
Talked about, and that is, as soon as we started to have social welfare in our country, to be compassionate, we let everybody who wanted to be on social welfare get on. We can all agree, all fair-minded people, that we should always take care of the poor and the handicapped, but to allow anybody who wants to get on social welfare to get on is wrong. Everybody should be willing to work for what they have.
Okay, let's hear from Harold in Aptos right now. You're on, Harold.
Good morning, Michael and Kay.
Hi.
Boy, would I like to be in the studio today on this topic. You know that.
Yes, we know.
Okay, first,
you're on the air.
Cyril won't debate me because he knows I know Russian history, and there was two civilizations that roared through Russia, destroying the culture and burning Moscow. One of them was the Vikings, and the second one was Genghis Khan. So.
Wait a minute. Didn't Cyril debate you on the Saturday special one day?
Well, why do you have to talk about Cyril? Don't talk about personalities now, please. Why don't you just stay on the subject?
Okay.
All right.
Now, I understand why Israel built the wall between them and the Palestinians. You've had people blown up for years in Israel. But you also know about the Great Wall of China, don't you? Now, the reason the emperors built the Great Wall of China is because Genghis Khan, the Mongols, went in there and they killed everybody in the city of Peking, men, women, and children. I think the number was something like 350,000. They were raiding everywhere. So
that would be Beijing.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten that far bad yet with Mexico, but in certain cities around here, between us and the Mexican story, it will get that bad.
So what do you recommend, Howard?
Okay, I'm going to get to it now. I'm into Mexican history. I'm a historian, so the answers aren't quick. Now, let's go to the 1916-17 Mexican Civil War. Pancho Villa, Emiliano Zapata, led the peasant army of Mexico, and that's what's coming across the border now, the peasant or peone. They are hungry for land. They are not doing well academically in the schools. They're getting the lower-rung jobs. They're not going to push up into the higher echelon of academia. So all Pancho Villa and Emiliano Zapata had to do in Mexico, because the Catholic Church and the 19 wealthy families had owned all of Mexican land by then. He just rode through the villages, and the Mexicans just gave him a rifle, and they just followed him. And what you saw in Watsonville is going to happen again, but they're going to have rifles. And these are land-hungry peasants, and they are going to turn on Americans, and you are going to be outgunned. Now, if you have a president that uses the federal arsenal on him, that's the final solution. But let's hope we don't have to come to that, because I tried to speak. Now, the difference between us and Mexico is we believe in our Bill of Rights. That's what makes us an American. They do not believe in the Bill of Rights down there. They take things by force. They bribe. They're completely foreign.
Okay,
you got to get
to the point, Harold, because okay. We got a lot of other callers. We're going to give you another 15 seconds.
Let me tell you what happened when I tried to speak before the PVUSD board meeting. They want to name a school for Cesar Chavez.
Forget about that. Harold,
I'm almost finished.
But say what do you think we should do now? Forget about the past.
Yeah, okay. We're not interested in history. We're interested in the present and the future.
I'm trying to tell you my free speech rights and your free speech rights are going to be shouted down. Mario Blado is going to close your station someday. It's only a matter of time. But, okay, what should we do?
Yeah, that's it.
The complete border has to be secured. President Bush has to get out of Iraq and bring his troops down here. But the Catholic Church is one of the main backers behind this illegal immigration, so I don't trust them.
But you agree that the borders should be closed now, right?
Yes, and employers are going to have to be warned. And they're going to have to be arrested. Police chiefs, crooked police chiefs and DAs that have done nothing, they're going to have to be dumped out of office because sooner or later there is going to be another fight between us. We know we fought twice before. I know you want to get me off the line.
Yes.
But we fought twice before, Kay.
And you're right.
The battle
right.
of the Texas Republic and the Mexican-U.S. war, and we're going to fight again.
Well, you're right about all the employers have to not employ illegals and let the legal people get
That's
the jobs.
True.
Okay.
So maybe I'll have another day, but thank you very much, and I'll listen.
Okay, thank you. There goes Harold and Aptos. So, 10:47, there's only about 13 minutes left in hour number one of this Saturday special. We have Ace in Live Oak, John in Santa Cruz, and Michelle from I Don't Know Where waiting on the lines. Give us an email, mz@ksco.com, if you want to participate that way. Call us at 4 with a fax at 475-2967. The topic is illegal immigration. What are we going to do about it? The guests are Kay Zwirling, Michael Olson, and MZ. And you, the callers, and I think let's take a commercial break now, if Michael is there and can make that happen.
Affirmative.
Okay, so we'll be back in just a little bit here. Stay with us. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
We interrupt this program for a breaking news report from GS2AC. The man who goes by the name of the Phantom has been spotted in San Francisco, going door to door, telling people that he's working with the police gathering up guns. Actually, the Phantom is right here. What do you have to say about this San Francisco gun ban?
Once the people are disarmed, only the police and criminals will have guns. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I'm making plans already, dude.
Don't be fooled again. Go to gs2ac.org and find out how to keep the Phantom out of your life.
Did you know that you could get a helicopter ride today right here on the Monterey Bay starting at $25 per person? Hi, my name is Chris with Specialized Helicopters. And yes, you can do that right now at the Watsonville Airport. We're offering helicopter tours where you and your family can come down for this area's most unique experience. We have tours ranging from fun flights to the Big Sur tour. Not to mention, we also offer helicopter flight training if you want to be a career helicopter pilot. Call us today at 763-2244 and be sure to ask about our training seminar coming up on April 12th. Again, that's Specialized Helicopters. At the Watsonville Airport, 831-763-2244.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services, whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website. GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Hello, everyone. Judy DeVilbiss here. I'm always talking to you about the American Longevity product line. Well, I'd like to talk to you right now about the absolutely wonderful business with American Longevity. I love my American Longevity business. I've been doing it for 10 years. I wouldn't change anything about it. Not only can you make some extra cash and get some goodies you might not have been able to get before, but I love the tax benefits. You can write off everything because, let's face it, it is a business expense. And oh, what fun. Traveling all over the country, all over over the world if you like, and it's all a tax write-off. What a benefit. Along with that, you meet so many incredibly wonderful people. I can't tell you, most of my best friends right now I've met through my American Longevity business, and to me, that's more important than cash, honest to God. Friends last forever. Cash comes and goes. Let's go with American Longevity's business plan. If you'd like to talk to me about it, my number's 888-352-7500, or you can go to JUDY.KSCO.com.
If you want to come out and play on our beaches, you'd better watch out, because the SoCal Capitola Sharks are on the prowl. Join sports broadcaster Kyle Roars Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on AM 1080 KSCO as the SoCal Capitola Sharks take on the Twin City Cougars for their season kickoff at the SoCal High School football field. The Sharks are our boys, and the Sharks' games benefit SoCal Athletics. So tune in semi-pro football Saturday at 2 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO.
And back to the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Hey, thank you, Michael W. We have guests in the studio, Kay Zwirling and Michael Olson.
No, Michael Olson had to leave.
Oh, we don't. Oh, you know why he had to leave?
Something important.
Yeah, so did. No, it had. No, he had to leave because that ad that you heard about the football game,
right.
that's only 3 hours from now.
Well, that's important.
It's very important. It's true. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Asa in Live Oak, you're very important also.
You're right.
How are you?
I have a little different vision a little bit. I mean, I've been trying to get some kind of a positive vision. I think, as our church says, is a happy issue out of our affliction. And I think that what we do need is a happy issue out of our afflictions, because everybody is getting so wound down in them and they can't get up over them.
Tell us, Asa.
Well, I think you'll all laugh, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because what I thought was the thing that people complain about that has caused a lot of the problem is that our way to get in here legally is a horrible bunch of paperwork and a bureaucratic bog of, I mean, horrible time, and it's consuming for people that have a legitimate right to come that have been on the list for years and just don't get an answer to their letters and just can't get their documents done. I mean, just really, there ought to be a house cleaning at the INS that would beef up their paperwork and let people legally come in without too much overwhelming documentary, which is what they put up with, and one of the reasons why they escaped to the border. And which I don't approve of, because I'm the one, I agree with Phil, I think we definitely need a wall. But now I want my wall to be different, because I want it to be, because after we have reformed the immigration service so that they are halfway intelligent and can operate as a normal bunch of individuals, we will redo our fence. I mean, in other words, we will have the fence absolutely impervisible, people will not be able to get through it, but we will enlarge the gate, and it will say welcome, and it will have more doors to come in and more capable people to do it legally, and that would be the butter on our piece of bread.
That sounds very nice.
Well, you don't think it's funny?
No, I don't think it's funny.
I just had a little picture in my mind of a new gate and a place that said welcome, but it cannot be done until that INS thing is cleaned up and our legal ability to do it is taken care of. I don't know who's in charge, but whoever is in charge, it's worse than FEMA.
And it can't happen either until we can ever resolve this business of terrorists coming in.
Oh, the other
See, it's
is
not the Mexicans that we're worried about as much as we are of the terrorists
well,
that
the
are coming in.
Well, terrorists can't get in that through that the Immigration Service aren't going to let them in because it says welcome. The Immigration Service is going to be bright enough to be able to tell a terrorist when he sees one, I hope. Or at least have the in other words, I think it's going to... So that gate is going to have really bright people on it, as long with the welcome sign. And the people that are already here, okay, just leave them be until we have solved the border problem. And don't mess up our problem with dealing with the border and try to deal with the people that are here, because I don't think that they are the problem. I mean, it's so vast north. It's as if we had all our water clean and there was a whole polluted wave that was trying to come in. And we don't want the things that come from Mexico, like the corruption and the bribery and all that stuff. So that's the part. That would be the pollution.
Okay, thank you very much, Asa. Here comes John in Santa Cruz. You're on the KSCO Saturday Special. John, welcome.
Yeah, hi. I just want to make a few comments. When my parents were born, they were born in a home. When their parents, my grandparents, came here 100 years ago, there was no Social Security. There was no welfare state.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Medicare. Things have changed, and we need to accept that. If you want to fix Mexico so that so many people don't wish to leave, the best way is for those that are here illegally to return. They will fix what's wrong with Mexico. There'll be a revolution. The dollars from here won't be flowing to that country. The people returning will put demands on their government, and it will change, or they'll have a revolution.
Sounds good. But are the people who are here and have had a family and children, they're not easily want to, they won't easily want to go back to Mexico.
Well, what you do is you revitalize 187.
Oh, I agree with that.
Get it up to the Supreme Court. When the services are not offered or provided, many will return voluntarily.
What is the status of 187?
It's stuck. It's stuck in the courts, isn't it? It's ridiculous. So that's another issue we have to deal with, and that's the judges who are legislating from the bench.
One federal judge, I think her name is Marilyn Patel, has seen fit to negate the will of the people.
Yeah, and they get away with it because we don't do anything. We just let it happen.
What do you do, kill the judge?
No, but I think the thing we should do about judges is not have any one judge have a lifetime job. Nobody should have a lifetime job. Not even the people on the Supreme Court of the United States.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that we have the world's most liberal, legal immigration policy. No other country in the world allows as many people to enter legally as the U.S. does.
That's right.
Now, unfortunately, there's criteria. When we have people immigrate legally, the biggest focus is on those that will help us as a country, the educated, the skillful. We don't legally immigrate the impoverished. We are importing poverty from Mexico. That's not what legal immigration is about. We do allow for refugees quite generously, but the people coming across illegally, as the other caller made mention, they wouldn't qualify for legal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have, like we said, some guest worker program.
No, we are.
To the degree we need it, and then manage it.
Yeah, we're going right back to our politicians. They figure if they let the Mexicans in easily, then those Mexicans are going to become citizens, and they're going to vote for these politicians. Right?
Or vote for the politicians without being citizens. That's being done, too. Anyhow, John, thanks for your call to the Saturday Special. Here's Michelle. Is it really Michelle?
Yeah. I'm from Santa Cruz.
Oh. How'd you get the secret phone number?
I kept calling it. I have a redial feature on the phone. So.
Oh.
And I got it listening to your program. I listen to your program every day.
Oh, okay.
I just thought in the morning before I go to work.
Right.
SEO.
Okay.
But I'm coming from kind of a, what's not a, so political, but I know it's difficult to find fruits and vegetables from California in the off seasons now, and a lot of these come from Mexico and other countries. Even when fruits or vegetables are in season in California, the Mexican people from Mexico work in the fields, and I can't see middle class white people picking vegetables and fruits when they're in season in California. I never see white people out there.
Not middle class people, but what about people who are on welfare who are really able-bodied people?
Possibly.
I'm not talking about handicapped or sick or old.
Mm-hmm.
But why are we giving money to able-bodied people who could do that kind of work or any kind of work?
It's
but they say,
tough.
No, I don't want to do this. Because I want to stay on welfare.
Yeah,
and our country is enabling this situation to remain.
Right. I agree with that totally.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, good point.
Well, thank you for calling with your good point as well. There goes Michelle. And, yeah, we have Walt in Aptos and Gary in Live Oak, but we only have about 12 or so seconds left for the Fox News at the top of the hour. So I will let you know that there's a whole hour ahead of further discussion on illegal immigration right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Carton. By the end of tomorrow, a freed American journalist should be back on U.S. soil.
Jill Carroll made the first leg of her homeward journey from Baghdad to the U.S. airbase at Balad. From there, she boarded a C-17 plane and headed for Ramstein, Germany. On arrival, Carroll smiled and said she was happy to be there.
Fox Radio's David McDougall in Baghdad. Carroll arriving Sunday at Boston's Logan International Airport. An American chopper has crashed south of Baghdad.
The U.S. military is withholding all information at this time until the next of kin is notified.
Fox's Courtney Keeley in Baghdad. The aircraft was conducting a combat air patrol when it went down. Ignore law with no consequences. Before a panel Friday considering a censure of President Bush, President Richard Nixon's former White House counsel John Dean says the president must be held accountable for the warrantless wiretapping program.
You know, had a censure resolution been issued about some of Nixon's conduct long before it erupted to the degree and the problem it came, it would have been a godsend.
Wisconsin Democrat Russ Feingold proposed the idea of censure, which Republicans are fighting against. It will be a weekend of waiting. Still no decision from a federal jury in Virginia for admitted al-Qaeda conspirator Zakarias Moussaoui.
They are deciding a legal issue at this point in the sentencing phase of the trial, whether Zakarias Moussaoui is eligible for the death penalty. To be eligible, the jury has to determine that he was responsible for at least one death on 9/11.
Fox's Molly Hennenberg in Alexandria, deliberations resuming on Monday. Tapes that trigger horrible memories, more 911 calls recorded on September 11th when the Twin Towers were struck.
On the northwest side, there's a woman hanging from an unidentified person hanging from the top of the building.
The tapes coming out after a lawsuit by victims' families and the New York Times overwhelmed 911 operators offering what little advice they can to those caught in the burning towers. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m. And then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus. Then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch. Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology. Pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Taking on the Bush administration.
This administration has taken us on a path to nowhere.
Retired General Wesley Clark in the Democratic radio address.
It started with a fight we didn't finish against Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan and included a war we didn't have to fight in Iraq.
Clark also saying the president's national security policies are marked by failure. Pleas for peace and loud anti-war protests.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you!
In England, demonstrators turning out for the second day of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice's visit. Rice meeting with British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw and Christian and Muslim leaders. Rice says people are simply expressing their views. Rice is back stateside on Sunday. A successful docking between the International Space Station and a Soyuz capsule.
Congratulations, Pastor Vlayu. And again, we're awfully proud of all five of you.
That's Mission Control, the Soyuz capsule, bringing a Russian, an American, and Brazil's first astronaut to the space station, as well as fresh supplies. Well, here it is, the Final Four showdown in men's college basketball tonight. Virginia's George Mason will try to keep its Cinderella season going in today's game against Florida. Then it's LSU against UCLA. Here's a preview of this matchup. Fox Radio's Isaac Lowenkron with more.
A berth in the national championship game will be at stake when UCLA meets LSU. Bruins sophomore guard Aaron Aflalo and his teammates are pursuing the school's 12th national championship.
Just restoring that tradition is what we're playing for right now. Now we're trying to carry on something that John Wooden started.
LSU is led by 310-pound sophomore center Glenn Big Baby Davis.
You win the trophy, you live forever.
And the champs will be crowned on Monday night. We've got our office pools going. And for more headlines, go ahead and log on to foxnews.com. I'm Lisa Carton, Fox News Radio.
You are tuned to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Mike Williams. It is Saturday, April 1st, 2006, 11:05 a.m., and I've got your Central Coast weather forecast. We are looking at some partly cloudy skies this morning and turning to mostly cloudy this evening with a slight chance of rain, 20% all day and night. And we're looking at about 6 mile per hour winds, just down to about 5 miles per hour this evening, and a high around 61 degrees Fahrenheit, lows around 46 degrees. On the bay today, we got a west wind of 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 1 foot or less, a northwest swell of 3 to 7 feet at 12 seconds, and a chance of showers mainly during the morning. As well, this evening, we've got a southwest wind of 5 to 15 knots, becoming southeast overnight, wind waves 2 feet or less, a northwest swell.
I've cut the mic down. There's nothing I can do about my breathing, because if I stop that, then I'll die.
That's true, too.
But I can crank the microphone down as I did. Is it down too far?
Well, I hear you clearly.
Oh, okay. So, and I thought the complaints were about someone else, not
like
me.
Like me?
Yeah, no. Like you.
No. Michael, I'm very happy to understand that you're breathing, but please don't breathe into the microphone.
And that's what I was going to say to you. Okay, all right, well, let's hear. Now that that's all squared away, let's start the program, hour number two, officially here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but...
Wait a minute. I've just had an epiphany. What my mother and I both need, that we don't have at the moment, is a cough button! Right?
A cough button.
A cough button. Normal radio stations have cough buttons.
We don't have one. What's in the back?
There's no cough button. We don't have a single... Ma.
What's about the breathing?
When you have to clear your throat, mm-hmm. See, or when you have to sneeze, or when you're breathing too, because you do that too. I'm not the only one.
Okay.
All right? It would be nice for you to have a little button to push, and while your thumb is on the button, we can't hear you breathing or coughing or choking, or, you know, or whatever. And the same thing for me.
Okay.
Yeah,
but what about breathing all the time?
Well, breathe away from the microphone or
press...
That's
all I said.
Okay. All right. So now we'll go back into the...
I'm sorry, baby.
I just heard it again.
It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
You know, just because it's not professional to breathe heavily into the microphone like phone sex or something, doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it, because we're different.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Bye, but it's really high. Welcome to the... beginning of hour number two of the Saturday special. It's 8 minutes past 11 a.m. on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. All right. Gary in Live Oak has been waiting an awfully long time to get on the air, presumably with Kay more than me, but let's see. Hey, Gary, you're on.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I won't take more than 2.5 minutes at the most, but right off, Kay's got it right, close the border. I think number two, you need to find the employers. Number three, we're talking about house cleaning here and house cleaning there. It's our own darn fault. We keep sending these incumbents back. There's hardly any seats either in the state or federally that that we don't keep sending the same guys back.
I wonder if it would be possible to have a voters initiative that would make it a capital crime to vote for an incumbent.
I don't know. Occasionally we get a good one. That would be against. I wouldn't be for that. But I can understand your feeling. Also, one of the networks mentioned that there's something like 100,000 people in Washington, D.C. that are either lobbyists or in lobbyist support. So then when we send them off there, we lose track of them. As far as the kids in the street, 40% of the Hispanic kids don't graduate from high school. So they're, in essence, cutting their own throat, destroying their own upcoming wages, which is, you know, a year or two off from, you know, from their marching around. One last thing that people need to know, just what's going on behind the scenes. A lot of these organizations that are funding these marches and so forth, the funds come from Ford, Rockefeller, Packard, Tides Foundation. Leon Panetta had at his foundation a man by the name of Richard Haass. He's the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. And those of you on the computer, if you go to his Taipei speech 3 days ago, he says sovereignty is not only becoming weaker in reality, but it needs to become weaker. He says nations must be prepared to cede some sovereignty to world bodies. And he suggests that Microsoft, Goldman Sachs, and Amnesty International have representatives at UN and regional programs. But the guy in charge of the Republican delegation is David Dreyer. He's a member of this Council on Foreign Relations that hates borders and hates national sovereignty. Dennis Hassert, who heads, you know, the head of the Republicans in the Congress, he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's a key to understanding what's happened, and they're in both parties. But that's my my thing for today. I emailed you a thing from the Mexican Constitution. I can mention it here if you got the seconds.
Go for it.
Okay, Article 33 of the Mexican Constitution. This is from George Putnam, broadcast on the 25th.
He's very old. I'm amazed he's still alive, but he's...
Yeah, it is amazing. He used to be one of those Republicans, yeah. And finally he's figured out what's going on.
And he's the guy that Ted Baxter on the old Mary Tyler Moore show was modeled after. Did you know that?
No. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, no, he's got to be pushing 100. Anyway, Mexican Constitution says that they have the exclusive right, quote, to expel from their national territory immediately and without the necessity of judicial proceedings all foreigners who stay judges inconvenient. Foreigners may not in any manner involve themselves in political affairs of the country, unquote. But I shot that over to you for...
Yeah, I got it, benefit. And yeah, it's better that you said it than I did. So, I mean, I would have anyhow, because it was a good thing to add to the program. Gary, thanks for your call.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Okay, that opens up lines at 479-1080. All of our lines at 477-1340 are available. We have Walt from Aptos who will be our next call. He's been waiting for almost a quarter of an hour here. We'll put him up next, but I want to use this opportunity to express my desire for, and maybe this isn't and can't happen because maybe anybody who listens to this radio station tends to be more conservatively minded, and but I really, really, really would like to hear from someone who has a different perspective, who does not think the border should be closed. Who you know, there are a lot of people out there who feel that way. Why aren't we getting any of them on this program? I'm a real stickler about having all or both sides of a controversial topic represented. And, you know, if someone will call in and represent that side, I will really appreciate it. And as you know, we treat everybody really fairly, at least I do, on this program. So it's the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, MZ and KZ today, talking about illegal immigration. Let's go to Walt in Aptos. Hey, Walt, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if I'm the only one who wonders what happens to all this money owed to the credit for Watsonville Hospital, for instance. These people who are illegals, they go there, they have their wife has a baby there, they have medical attention, and they owe money. If I did this, regardless of how long I live, if I owed money to the hospital, I eventually am going to pay for it if I get back on my luck. Now I'm wondering about all the when I've been to the Watsonville Hospital, I had to wait in line with many, many Mexicans who were way ahead of me, but I pay my bills through insurance. Now, I'm wondering if someday we couldn't have a member of the hospital credit department tell us what happens to this money that's owed by these illegals. If they're working and they've got money, they don't have to pay for it. But, boy, I'll tell you, if I go to the hospital and I didn't have insurance, I'd have to pay for it.
The reason that they don't pay for it, Walt, is because they're not expected to.
You know, it's amazing. I can hardly hear you.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I said the reason that they don't pay is that they're not expected to pay.
No, well, I'm sure that's
true. They're off the hook.
I'm sure that's true, but why should it? I mean, these people become citizens. If they do become citizens,
they get priority in the emergency room.
That's the main reason for my call, because I was listening to Michael Olson this morning talking about how I've often wondered the same thing, and I'm sure you have too,
mm-hmm.
about the amount of food and help that goes into Africa, and that a lot of the people, that stuff is shortcut and picked up, and somebody's making money off of it.
Right.
Now,
so,
there's something
so we should
wrong
never send money. We should never send money. We should just send the food and make sure it gets to the right people.
Yeah,
well,
be careful
what you wish for here, because you might get your wish. Vernon just sent me an email saying, you want the other side? Here, click on this link. And it took me to wehategringos.com. Anyhow, it says, before entering this website, please read this warning notice. This website, wehategringos.com, is dedicated to exposing the other side of illegal immigration. The side our president, many in Congress, the media, and especially the racist hate groups do not want us to see. Many pages in this website contain graphic examples of hate and racism that has and is occurring in large cities and small towns across America. The foul language, crude gestures. You know what I need to do? I need to fix this. We need to put this on hold here. We'll put Walt on hold. It's nothing personal, but I think that's creating the feedback here. Anyhow, that's a very interesting website here. Wehategringos.com. Why wehategringos.com? The League of United Latin American Citizens, LULAC, set up the website called weareracists.com. It had photos of our friends portrayed as racists. We were infuriated and decided to build a website. Oh, okay. See, I'm all confused. This is just the opposite. I don't know what the... A lot of good stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. Too bad we can't have representation on the radio station from all different sides. That's what's bothering me, and I don't know how to change that, because it used to be a whole lot easier to get people from all different perspectives to participate in a civil talk radio program, but it seems like those days are past. I don't know. Anyhow, Walt, we'll bring you back up, and you can just finish up here, and then we're going to go to Richard and Watsonville. Well, go ahead, Walt.
Michael, all I'm saying, maybe some Saturday on your special, you could get somebody from the credit department from Watsonville Hospital to explain a lot of these questions we have about the amount of, about these people going in. And I have a doctor, well, matter of fact, Dr. Potkin was on last Saturday.
Yeah.
Now, on the first floor, he's my heart doctor. On the first floor, there's a medical doctor there, and I've sat there waiting to get a ride home with Lyft Line. And I've watched these women come in there pregnant, one after the other one. If I sat there a half hour, I'd see at least 10 women come in pregnant with new babies, or not pregnant, but having new babies. And apparently all these babies are paid for by us. So anyhow, maybe someday you could get on your program, get somebody from the hospital to come in and explain how.
We'll try, but I'm not going to hold my breath, Walt.
Well, I'm sure
you are. No one likes to be uncomfortable in the hot seat in the radio, even though we treat people very fairly.
Okay. Well, listen, I enjoy you and your mother. I enjoy your mother's specials all the time.
Thanks.
Okay, I'll let you go.
There he goes. Okay, what do you want to say,
Walt? I just wanted to say to Walt that these people probably just don't have any money, but they still need the medical attention. And because they're here, we have to take care of them.
I still would like to hear some callers from the other side in favor of illegal immigration and in favor of or opposed to closing the borders. 479-1080 or 477-1340.
Excuse me, Michael, but yeah. You won't hear them on the radio, but they're all out in the streets marching.
Oh.
All the students why? Who aren't in school.
Why did they think of that?
Well, because that's the way it is. They're protesting that that our Congress might be trying to make some laws to make it harder for illegals to come in.
Okay, well, let's see what Richard N. Watsonville has to say. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Mike, Mr. Yeah. Z, how you doing?
Hi.
You guys sound pretty good here on the radio.
Why, thank you.
We're not breathing hard.
No, I mean as far as clarity.
Oh.
I can hear everything.
Yeah, even the breathing. Well, what's up, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, your mom's voice is not lower or higher. It sounds great. The technical part of it's good. But the as far as this students protesting right now, well, it's Saturday. There is no school. But they took the whole week off to protest.
Right.
The thing about it is they can protest all they want. There's still going to be people coming.
Right.
And at some point, you're going to protest yourself out. Just like Santa Cruz built itself out, you can't do any more building there.
But Richard, they're
you can't
protesting.
Put a fence up, Mrs. Z.
But they're protesting so vigorously that they're actually frightening the Congress.
No. Nah.
So now the Senate is coming up with another a much
ways,
easier
ways
way to deal
Kate.
With it.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
Yeah, but do you think? We should put the military on the border, or should we have? When was the last time you saw an immigration officer, Mrs. Worley?
I never saw one.
I've seen them, but I haven't seen one in maybe 4 or 5 years. How about you, Mike?
I haven't seen one ever.
You know, have to talk to the president.
Truck?
You have to talk to our leaders.
No, we don't have to talk to them because they're in Washington and Texas, and they don't give a damn about us out here.
So what do you recommend?
Martial law.
Well, but that can't happen without...
You know what it's about, don't you, Mrs. Z?
Well, I
know we can bring this country under order overnight with martial law, don't you?
Who's we?
This country.
Yes, but we have leaders who do that.
Yeah, it's called the military.
The people can't do that.
It's called the military.
Well, the military cannot do it without the leaders. Otherwise, otherwise we have anarchy.
No, that's not true. The military can't do it at all because we have a law that says they cannot do it.
Okay.
Just like Mexico has a law that says they can't tell people not to cross their border. But yet they have a law that says that Billy Graff can't buy a beach house. He has to buy a house 50 miles away from the ocean. You
so
know?
What's the point?
The point is that we need to take Canada and we need to take Mexico. I mean, we can't put a wall around
what do you
border.
Mean by take?
Take it.
You mean...
Right now, Canada's split in half. You got French on one side, and people want to act like Americans on the other side, right?
If we Richard, I don't know what you're saying. Are
no.
you saying crazy?
Saying we annex those countries. How's that?
You can't do that. That's foolish.
Well, here you're saying we can't do something, and the first thing I was taught in the military is there's no such word as can't.
Well, the military takes its orders from the government. Otherwise, we don't have a government.
Do you want to seal the border? You get your government to send the military there instead of
right.
Like
you
Iraq.
Have to get the government, and the government is
but
just dragging its feet.
It's illegal to have the military perform such an action like that. That's why we have customs. That's why we have immigration. And they put those two groups together called ICE, Immigration Custom Enforcement now. And it comes under Homeland Security along with the Coast Guard. See?
Okay.
I mean, it's sick. All it is just open your purse up and keep paying money because that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about money.
You know, Richard, you know a lot
it's
about
all
this.
It's
kind
all
of
about
stuff.
Votes, also.
I sure am happy
yeah,
to call. Here comes Billy in Capitola, our next caller.
Hello, MZ and Mom Z.
Hi. Billy.
Greetings. MZ, did I hear you had Potkin on last week?
We sure did have Potkin on last week.
Was he great?
Very good.
Yeah, and so
I love him.
So was pharmacist Benjamin Fuchs.
Dr. Potkin is an excellent doctor, too.
And a great
wonderful
guy.
Cardiologist.
And a good guy.
He's my cardiologist.
Wow.
Okay.
He's everybody's cardiologist.
Well,
huh?
he's the guy around here. He is the man. Tell them I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah.
Immigration, huh? I've got the solution.
Hallelujah.
The problem, the problem, of course, is that, you know, it costs us too much to for their health, their children's health. They're going to overpopulate us and take over, and the white people are worried about that. If we let the, if everybody we let in legally agrees to be fixed.
Fixed?
Fixed. You know, spayed, neutered,
whatever.
Spaded.
Yeah, then that would really solve the immigration problem.
Or maybe we could make a law for abstinence.
Well, you know, that doesn't seem to work with anybody
else. If you're caught abstaining from abstinence, it's the death penalty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, you know, and you know, I'm not kidding.
This is deteriorating.
You know, one thing people say that I just want to straighten out is this thing about they do the jobs that no American wants to do. And the fact is that you need to add a sentence to make that true. And that is at that price.
It's been said already in this program, Billy. I just want to
get behind it because that's the fact. The fact is that, you know, if we didn't have those people lowering our wages, at the same time, by the way, now that even the high-tech wages are being lowered by India and China, our standard of living is headed down. And we need to realize that.
And that means the price of real estate, too. So, listen, gang, if you've been contemplating selling your property, you better do it now while you can still get some money from it.
It is true that the real estate boom is over.
It's
but you know what?
Absolutely over, and the prices are going to plummet.
But, Mike, out here, I don't think that forget condos. If you're talking about real homes where people are living in them, we're not going to see a great crush in the prices. A place like Florida and their condominium boom will see 50% losses.
Uh-huh.
We'll see 10% losses.
Well, anyhow, I just it's very clear to me that we're headed for disaster.
Not a disaster.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for calling, Billy.
You bet, buddy.
Yeah, there goes Billy. And now here, wait a minute. Who's this? Can it be Leonard in Watsonville?
Oh, how you doing?
Hi, Leonard. What you got for us today?
Well, this is what I'm Mexican. I'm actually working right now. Look. The thing about immigration is, go ahead and seal that border. Let these people in, the ones that are already here, go ahead, let them stay here. What's going to happen is they're going to, that fine, that $1,000 fine, whatever that fine they're talking about, that's through background check on them. Then they still have to become legal here. They go to the back of the line, but they still have to be immigrated here. Now go ahead and seal that border. But the thing is this, once you seal that border and nobody's able to come over, everything is going to go up. Everything, fruit, common goods that you buy in your for your house are going to go straight through the roof.
You know, Mom.
That's what's going to happen.
Mom.
Well, Leonard, suppose it
Leonard
does,
is,
Leonard.
Leonard is right.
well, what's the choice, Leonard? Would you rather let everybody in, and like Michael Olson said, that the boat is going to sink? If prices go up, they'll go up.
Look, the thing about that, the guest worker pass. It sounds like a good idea. That's what I'm saying. Seal that border. Go ahead. Seal it up and let only a few people that want to work legally into this country.
Okay.
But the thing is this. A lot of employers are not going to want it because they want that cheap labor.
Well, that's
and they're
too
going to be
bad.
Lobbyists. Right. But they're going to be lobbyists lobbying against this guest worker pass. They're not going to want it. They want the status quo.
When you speak of lobbyists, Leonard, are you talking about the thousands of lobbyists that live in Washington D.C. and are basically running our country? Are those the ones you're talking about?
What other ones are there?
Well, yeah, I'm talking about the ones that buddy up to corporate America.
Right. Well, so what?
So this is what I'm saying is, go ahead. You want to steal the border, but everything is going to go through the roof. All common good, you know.
Well, what would you recommend, Leonard? Leave everything the way it is right now, just so we can have, just so people, so employers can pay less to their employees. Is that a reason for our country to go down the drain?
Realistically, I think this is the whole ploy for one thing, and that's votes.
Well, it's been the issue.
I said that at the beginning of this program.
It's been that issue for 25 years.
Why did we even need to have this program?
About 15 minutes ago. Sorry.
The votes we're talking about, Leonard, is that our presidents, our leaders, have been delinquent in caring about the borders because they're more interested in having everybody like them so that they can be voted into office again.
Right. That's exactly
Why did
right.
President Bush wait 5 years into his administration to even begin to think about the borders?
Well, that's exactly right. It's all
well,
about
then,
the
then are you saying that it's all right for us to close the borders and just ask everybody who wants to come into our country, even the terrorists, to come in legally?
Now, this is what I'm thinking. This is on top of my head. Go ahead and seal that border. But to make it equal for everybody coming over that border cannot...
go on welfare?
Yeah, exactly. Could not go on welfare. Could not take any state.
Cannot go to the hospital and be taken care of because they have no money.
Their employer is going to be their sponsor. So they may get a good hourly rate out of these people, but the employer is going to have to be responsible for the medical.
Well, I think
what an interesting thought.
That's good. You're right. There are no easy answers to the situation that we're in, but at least and at last, maybe our government is paying attention to
Leonard, that. Thanks for calling in. We hope you'll call again.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm one of Dr. Podkin's patients also. He's a very good doctor. Excellent doctor.
That's great.
We're going to have Dr. Podkin pay for advertising.
He doesn't, well, thank you very much. He doesn't need any. It sounds great. Anyhow, there goes Leonard in Watsonville. Marcos in Santa Cruz will be up next, and we have Dave Allen later on. But Michael, I don't know if he's in the studio. Probably not because he's screening the phone calls, I guess. But let's do the commercial set for this hour. And in the interim, we'll welcome Marcos to...
Hello.
What we hope is your favorite radio station, is it?
Yes.
Good. Okay, now you can talk then in that case.
Okay, great. I had a few points. I am a Mexican-American, and I was born in this country. But I see both of the worlds because I was raised down in Mexico by my parents. My parents used to come during the...
Sounds like you have the radio on, Marcos.
I'll turn it off.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Used to come through the harvest season with my grandpa. All right? And I'm going to tell you something. We had as much right as anybody else to come to this country and work. If you think about all the colors that have been calling... You can tell they're American. That's fine. They're trying to protect their country. But you know what? It is also our country. The legal Mexican-Americans that came in here.
Of course.
All right? Now, let me tell you something. How are you going to implement martial law, like the one guy said?
No.
By color? How are you going to... How does he know that the pregnant woman that came to the hospital don't have papers? Did he check for papers himself?
You're right.
Exactly. So that's being a little bit racist.
Of course.
Don't you think? Unless he asked them.
Ma, would you stop short at calling Walt in Aptos a racist?
Well, a little bit, yes. Because
I think everybody,
how do you know
I don't...
that these Mexican ladies, just because of their color, came in with no papers? Did he check the papers?
No,
I don't
think.
That's a good point.
I don't think he's a racist. I think that, Marcos, that a lot of people are very, very frustrated.
Uh-huh. Now, let me tell you this. If I go to the hospital and I see two white ladies with green eyes, but no papers because they came from Ireland with papers, but their visas expired, I would not say that they came in for because they got green eyes and white skin.
I know, yep.
I would never say that, right? That
right.
They didn't have no papers.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So how are they going to implement martial law? He's crazy.
Yes.
Okay,
well,
now,
I don't know that he's crazy, but it's not a good...
You're talking about
idea.
Richard N. Watson,
yes,
who
exactly.
talked about martial law.
There's a little bit of hypocrisy in our talk. Let me tell you why. I worked on the field with my dad. in Fresno, California, picking up peaches during the harvest season. And I'm going to tell you something. I will pay an American guy or Mexican-American that has papers to do that job. Myself, out of my money. Mm. Or pick up strawberries.
Mm.
Okay? So there's hypocrisy because we know we need them. I know that the prices will go up to the roof if American people will do it, but they won't do it.
Well, what about
it's
the ones?
Hard labor.
Very hard labor.
Very hard labor. They don't know what they're talking about when they say, oh, American people. I'll have a suggestion. Get all the people that is outside Kmart Santa Cruz back to their country. And let's go downtown Santa Cruz, and all the people that are panhandling, let's put them to work. And let's see how long it'll last us working.
Well, he probably won't if we're won't. Allowed to let them stay on welfare just because they
exactly.
don't want to work.
Now, social services, believe me, Mexican people do not qualify for such before. They got to bring a green card or they got to bring, you know, show citizenship to get social services.
Marco, what do you think should happen to the borders?
Well, let me just make one second point about the other caller that said that all the people that should come over to this country should be fixed.
He was joking.
That was a joke.
I guess he was joking. I think so, because, you know, if that would have happened to his mom,
when she came in here,
or her grandmother when she came in here, he wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah. But that was a joke.
You don't listen to the station enough, because that's Billy in Capitola, and he has an excellent sense of humor.
But okay, Marcos,
And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm a Mexican American. I was born in this country, and the other day, I suffer discrimination. My kid is 18 years old, goes to Santa Cruz High. He went to apply for a job where I know for a fact that there's people that have no papers. This is the other side of the money.
Yes, so he's angry.
And they wouldn't give him the job. And we're talking about Santa Cruz University.
Mm-hmm.
They're hiring people that have no papers through labor, you know, through another labor company.
And how about, aren't they
are
also...
You're talking about UC Santa Cruz.
Yeah, exactly. And I felt so...
Wow, Mom.
Bad. And I can prove to them...
This is a job...
I talked to the manager, and I told him, I can prove to you, you have people here that have no papers. And you are not giving a job to my son that is at high school, is about to graduate.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's so great about UCSC? I mean, do you think that they're lily white?
You're missing
not.
The point. You're missing the point, Ma. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is a job for you. You should be outraged at what we're being told by Marcos.
I am outraged.
You don't sound
But I'm
outraged.
Also outraged about the fact that there are a lot of citizens. This is the other side of the coin. There are citizens who are American citizens, and they are refused jobs that they're qualified for because they can't speak Spanish. That's wrong, too.
Yeah.
Do you know that I was refused admission to not one but five law schools 35 years ago because I wasn't the right minority? People with half of my law school admission tests got in real, you know, no problem.
Yeah, we're getting off the topic.
Yeah, we are getting off the topic.
Marcos,
yeah,
the only thing I want you to tell us. As a legal Mexican American, how do you think that our country should deal with the problem of illegal immigration?
Here's my idea. I think closing the border, that would be one.
Good.
Right?
Yes.
But not forever. Let's just cross the border, because I'm going to tell you something. We have so many Border Patrol officers that will be out of the job if we really close it.
No, they won't be out of a job. We're going to need many, many more to make sure that the borders...
I tell you something. Our people from Mexico, you know, what they're protesting outside, they're kind of making us feel like we're criminals.
And we're
not. I'm
going
to tell you in which way. I don't know if you remember the recession.
Oh, I do. I'm pretty old.
Who do they take their gift when the recession came on?
Your father doesn't remember 1929.
Uh-huh. But I read a little bit of history. They took it on the Mexican people.
They did what?
They took it on the Mexican people during the recession because they say they were taking the jobs. That, you know.
Oh, no. There was nothing like that.
They deported so many people.
That's a myth. That's a myth. It had nothing to do with...
Well, let's talk about this. Let me tell you how to fix this problem. We're getting a little bit out of the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Every time there's a problem here, they try to aim it into the Mexican people. They never talk about the Chinese people that are here illegally. They never talk about the Irish people, which visas expire. They don't talk about people from England, other countries, that their visas expire. They came in legally, but they're still here, and their visas already expire. The government is not doing nothing about them because, you know what? When they see them on the street, they see them with blue eyes, white skin.
Not
you
the
would
Chinese,
never
thought you don't.
Did they have paper? I got friends from Finland over here and from the Netherlands that have no paper. Their visa expires. And you know what? They have never had to worry about anything. They keep working. They speak good English. They have nothing to worry about.
Well, that's another thing. Don't you think that it's important for everybody who comes here and wants to be a citizen to know how to speak English?
Oh, definitely.
And don't you think that it's a big, big mistake, Marcos? Don't you think that that our country, our government is holding people back when they say that the Mexican Americans are certainly allowed to vote if they're Americans, but why do we have to have ballots that are in Spanish?
No, there's no reason whatsoever.
But we have them.
Yeah.
And don't you think everybody who comes here and votes should learn how to speak English?
Exactly. See, that's
and that goes for everybody, not just Mexicans.
But we have so many other phone calls we want to get to. So, Marcos, thanks very much for calling. Please call again, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you. There goes Marcos in Santa Cruz. I don't know if Margaret on the beach, if it's the Margaret, well, here, let's see here. Who's been waiting the longest? Jan in Sluv. Hello, Jan in Sluv.
Hello. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone.
Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah, we were going to play a stunt, but now we won't have to because you've been reminded. Now we're not going to get to because we've
reminded
everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry for spoiling it.
That's all right. I haven't figured it out yet anyhow.
Yeah, it's tricky. First off, I want to thank you and Kay for giving us a voice in this county.
Well, you might not have it much longer.
Why is that?
Well, I'll explain that later on, but not in this program. In this program. Go ahead. Thank you. I appreciate the kind words. And
okay.
So does Mom, I'm sure.
I want to move on to the point that Kay has brought up, that politicians have created this problem, and we have an election coming up. What we should be doing is we should be calling them, emailing them, faxing them, and forcing them to solve this problem somehow. And if they don't, we should have a way of getting them out of office. Either that or we all should be out there marching, too, to show them our numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather pay more for my vegetables and keep the hospitals and schools and things together than have a cheap tomato and no hospital to go to.
I agree.
So that's basically all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your call. Here's RC in SC. Hi, RC.
I hope that was just an April Fool's joke about you guys not being available to us for much longer.
It's not, but go ahead.
Okay. I'm a simple man, and I have a simple idea. I've heard this problem for a long time. I've heard every end of it, and I've heard every solution. It's not that there aren't solutions out there. They're out there. It's whether or not we want to actually pursue one of them. The easiest one that I think to pursue is simply putting the responsibility on the employers. Contrary to what people think, these people aren't coming across the border just to have children and receive social services. The majority of them are coming across the border to work.
You're right.
So all you have to do is have a, and I don't know the legality of this, But I would assume all you would have to do is have a simple initiative process and make the employer or have the employer have a check for citizenship. And I don't know how easy that would be or how realistic that would be to have the employer check for citizenship for everyone who's coming in to get a job.
A lot of them have false papers, too.
Well, I don't know what to do about that. I don't know what to do about false papers. What percentage of them would be able to get through the cracks with false papers, I don't know. But, I mean, I don't think you'd even have to worry about the borders. The people understood that you couldn't get a job here unless you could provide citizenship. Then you don't have to spend however billions it would take to seal up the borders because there'd be no incentive for them to come across.
Well, but shouldn't it be easier to keep the borders closed so that they don't come at all?
I think that if you have, this is a terrible analogy, but if you have ants coming in the house, all you got to do is clean your house so they don't come in. They won't have an incentive to come in. They're coming in here, the illegals are coming in here to get jobs. Yeah. I mean, if there's no jobs available because they don't have the proper, identification to get a job, I don't see why you need to worry about the borders. I mean, you should keep the borders manned as you have them right now. But if you made it not, like you said, you could have false papers, but if you made it next to impossible for an illegal to get a job, without providing some type of citizenship to an employer, and if the employer rejects that or doesn't do the check or do what they need to do, then I hate to say it, but I think you would have to fine the employer for hiring the illegal.
I think that our leaders are trying to include that the leaders should have the employers should have responsibility.
I wouldn't put a lot of faith, and I know this is a different topic though, but I wouldn't put a lot of faith in our leaders doing anything. I think it has to come from the people. I think it has to be an initiative process. How easy would it be to pursue initiative process to have employers have the responsibility of checking for citizenship, and if they don't check for citizenship, then hire illegals.
If you're talking about California, and you know what's happened to the initiative process, it gets to a liberal judge, and he just wipes it out.
Well,
187.
I would jump off that bridge when I got to it. I mean, it's better than doing nothing.
As Teddy Kennedy would say. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, listen.
I'll open up the lines for the caller.
RC, that's very kind of you. Thank you for calling. That was RC in SC, RC in Santa Cruz. We got Margaret on the beach, and we have Dave Allen, and we have an unknown person on hold. Who is this unknown person on hold?
This is Joe from Salinas.
Oh, Joe! Okay, now we know who you are. So stand by. We're going to have to do a commercial, and we will take your call, okay?
Okay.
And I'm happy that you're not so angry with us that you're not calling anymore. Okay, 11:47 on your favorite radio station. We're going to take a short commercial break during which you're going to find out about something that we should all be very excited about here in the Monterey Bay area, and that is the ability to go on a helicopter ride. Pretty cool, huh? I mean, I've always been jealous of places like Hawaii and New York and San Francisco where you can do that. But why can't you do that in our own area? Well, now you can. Here it is.
Did you know that you can get a helicopter ride today right here on the Monterey Bay starting at $25 per person? Hi, my name is Chris with Specialized Helicopters. And yes, you can do that. Right now at the Watsonville Airport, we're offering helicopter tours where you and your family can come down for this area's most unique experience. We have tours ranging from fun flights to the Big Sur tour. Not to mention, we also offer helicopter flight training if you want to be a career helicopter pilot. Call us today at 763-2244 and be sure to ask about our training seminar coming up on April 12th. Again, that's Specialized Helicopters. Helicopters at the Watsonville Airport, 831-763-2244.
Now, I am a private pilot myself. I have not an active private pilot. I do have an instrument rating that I got in 1976. But I had never flown in a helicopter until I, and always wanted to, and went in a helicopter with Chris, actually, I don't know, a couple of years ago. It was only for about 5 minutes or so because Chris is the safest helicopter pilot in the world you'll ever find. And he decided that he saw some weather coming and that we shouldn't mess around. So in any case, 763-2244 is a number that I would call. And have Chris take you on a helicopter ride, and you might even want to learn how to fly one of them things, huh? All right, it's 11:49, 11 minutes remaining on the hour number two of the Saturday special, talking about illegal immigration. Kay is in the studio, a rare personal appearance. Let's see what Margaret on the beach has to say. You're on, Margaret.
You sound great. Hi there. Mm-hmm. Finally drying out from all the rain.
Oh, okay.
It's beautiful on the beach today.
Yeah, so what's up?
I don't think Marco understands the definition of the word racist. But anyway, I think that the prices will not go up. In fact, the grocery stores will have to reduce their profits. And rents will go down in many, many areas. Slumlords will have to clean up their properties to make them rentable to decent people, rather than these immigrants will just take any slum dump just to fit 15 people in. Insurance premiums will go down. Auto insurance premiums will go down. There won't be so much uninsured motorist claims being paid out.
Good point.
Health insurance will go down. Medications will go down. The prices will go down. Jobs will open up. Our taxes will drop considerably. Charity-based food pantries will be more able to help the true, real Americans in need, like our farmers out there in the rural areas, rather than feeding these obese women that are illegal aliens that just fill the pantry lines every week.
I got you. Okay, and, Margaret, you know, so to cut to the chase here, the sky will not fall. In fact, the sky will probably get even higher, right?
It will be so good for our American culture to get rid of these criminals. And, you know,
criminals?
I was refused. Criminals.
Oh, yeah, the illegal.
Federal criminals.
All right.
And I've been refused numerous jobs with county jobs, the Metro Bus District. They've all refused. Or I lost a job because I couldn't speak Spanish. I think people should get some magnetic signs, you know, that you can get these magnetic signs that you can put on your car doors.
Yeah.
That just have the big letters INS on them. And watch the freeways start opening up. I mean, I'm telling you, these illegal aliens have got to stop committing this crime in our country.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special. Before we go to Joe, we're going to go to Dave. Ma, it sounds like you want to say something.
I do.
What?
I do want to say something to Margaret. I don't think we should call the illegal people who get in through the border criminals. Or the real criminals are the people that we trust. And the people who are in office who are the enablers, they're letting people in through the borders. And most of these people who come in come because life is bad for them and they're not surviving in Mexico.
Is our own congressman one of those people in your estimation?
Yes, I think he is one of them. If you're talking about Sam Farr, who was a hero to a group of people who went to his office this week and begged him to please allow the it's the House of Representatives to negate that, to they're trying to make a strong law to keep illegals out.
Uh-huh.
And Sam Farr says, well, yes, I agree with you. I'm going to try to make sure that we don't make that law. So what Sam Farr is doing is pandering to his base so that he can make a totally lifetime career out of being a politician. This is wrong. He's agreeing with with these people who are marching that we should, that the law of the land should be broken. And this is wrong. That's why we're in the mess we're in now. We have too many politicians who are pandering for votes.
I'm serious. You need to go after Sam Farr. He should be. He should
I can't. I'm just one.
He should be. He should be in your crosshairs.
He should. The people, when he comes up to be voted for against, they should see him for what he is.
Like I said for years, Farr out.
Yeah, there's Dave Allen. Okay, Dave, you're
Hi,
on.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I guess a lot of people have the misconception that some little old hillbilly hick farmer is hiring Consuelo to be his little maid and Hector, her husband, help out pick the peaches. This is corporate agriculture that brings these people lousy in here. Corporate agriculture that deals with coyotes that run the people. That is why a couple of months ago President Bush went eight nuts on his speech about how the food is backing up. These people on the borders are interfering with the federal government's job because our citizens went down and said, that's enough. He's pandering to Salinas, whoever the hell the president is down in Fox, wherever it is in Mexico. And corporate farms, this is the best government money can buy. That is why our so-called elected leaders keep allowing these same ridiculous laws over and over. They turn the other way. That, like I said years ago, the judge down there that negated Proposition 187.
Yeah.
Well, her maiden name, check her maiden name out. Her father was Gus Hall, American Communist Party leader.
David, you're agreeing that the biggest problem is our own legislators.
Okay, here's a brilliant email from Robert F. Land. At MZ, we have immigration laws which make it a crime to enter the country illegally.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, we have laws which impose fines and penalties for employers which employ illegals. Here's a radical idea. Let's simply enforce the laws.
There you
Good.
Go.
This would include local and state police to be able to ask the individual to document that they're a citizen.
But I don't like that.
It won't happen.
It's like Nazi Germany. You have your papers? Look, I'm kind of a Mediterranean-colored skin. I'll be damned if every hick deputy boarding could stop me going down the road. Check out my paper. Profile me.
Okay, Dave, pipe down for a sec, please. Here. Good morning, MZ. This is from Malcolm Brown. There will be no successful enduring solution to the immigration problem and several other major U.S. problems until term limits for Congress persons is enacted into law. Best regards, Malcolm. I totally agree, Malcolm. That's good. Okay, Marcia. Oh, Marcia has something or Saturday special here. Let's see if I... No, too much. Oh, God. What are we going to do? We have to. I promised that we would get to Joe in Salinas because I'm so happy that he's still calling us when he was so disgusted that we had been whores by having Air America on KOMY.
Michael, I'll say one more thing. I'll get out of the way for Joe.
Okay.
We must outlaw lobbying. That's where it's all at. Corporate lobbying. And then, hey, probably gotta skip the news. Let the show in at the end. But you're the boss.
David, you just wrecked my upcoming commentary. I think lobbyism in Washington should totally be outlawed. The lobbyists are running the country.
Okay, now wait a minute, Ma. We have to let Joe talk. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope I don't get disconnected because of the running out of money. I didn't call you Horace. I just think that you're misguided. But the reason I called, I heard your mother's voice, and it was like a soothing salve to hear that voice and to hear the voice of experience.
Maybe
so
we can raise some money. Maybe we can raise some money for KSCO by auctioning off like timeshare so that my mother can be other people's mother too.
Well, she is our mother, and that's what it was.
You know, but you can't. We can't. We no one could pay enough because I wouldn't release her for all the money in the world here. But I might share her a little bit.
Those
you know,
words,
it's
exactly.
A timeshare. Okay.
If you share her with us, you'll be doing a great service and.
Well, I have, but you think you and there's some other people who are very upset that KOMY has what it does on it and is owned by this Whirling family. It doesn't seem right, and I know you're one of the people who are really upset about that.
And the reason is because I believe that it's a full-time job for us to be educated on these issues, And if a house divided is doomed to fall. And that's why I think educating us and helping us to see the best way, that's something that both KSCO and KOMY can do. And without it, we're not going to get better. We're just going to stay where we're at, or we're going to go down. Those people, those liberals, have got to be made to know through education the folly of their ways. And that's why I'm so happy to hear your mom's voice today.
Well, you'll continue to hear it on KSCO if you continue to listen.
Well, the more I hear it.
And maybe we'll put, should we put her commentaries on KOMY?
Absolutely. She is the mother of this radio.
Well, okay.
I don't know what to say.
But it would break format, and we would be terribly criticized by
format
the people who listen.
Damned.
Okay, all right. Hey, thank you.
Thank you for having Margaret on there also.
Okay.
That's all, folks.
Set KSCO Santa Cruz.
Chris Barnes, Chopper Down, Southwest.